Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
This weekend, we celebrate, of course, Memorial Day weekend. But before I speak about that, I want to welcome our online audience. We want to welcome Newcastle and Meadville and Vernon Township campuses. Would you give them all a welcome today? Come on, man. We love you guys so much. I know God's going to do something great in all of those places. We're so grateful. This weekend, of course, we celebrate as a nation the people that have paid literally the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, those who have given their lives. Since the inception of this nation, over 1 million people have died and given the ultimate sacrifice of their life. And so tomorrow afternoon, when a lot of us will be doing things like having a day off and a picnic, or in my case, cutting the hay field in my front yard, there are going to be a lot of families that that's not going to be their day. Particularly over the last 20 years in our nation, there's going to be a lot of moms and dads and wives and husbands and kids and family members that are going to go to cemeteries, and they're going to be at the gravesides of people who've given their lives for our freedom. And so I want to take a moment and remember today and be mindful of the people that this weekend is a weekend really of grief and of mourning for them. And we want to recognize that, of course, it's the time that we celebrate not just the sacrifice of those who have given their lives, but the sacrifice their families have made right alongside them. So aren't you grateful for the families and those who have given their lives for our freedoms in this nation? It's such an honor. You know, I've never served in the military. I have no concept what it's like to be in a war environment. However, you know, like all of us, we have people with whom we interact. I have an uncle, and his name, Tony Sacco. Is that a great name? He's my great uncle. He's gone now. He's passed away. And Uncle Tony, let's just say, has had what you would call an interesting life. This is a picture of him behind me. That's Uncle Tony, and beside him is Jimmy Hoffa. You do the math, and we'll go from there. And so Uncle Tony, he had a bit of an unorthodox job. But he was something. And he was of the World War II generation, and fought in World War II, and I think he was in four major offensives, Battle of the Bulge and Normandy. I mean, just horrific things that he experienced. But like most in that generation, they really didn't talk much about it. But as he'd gotten older, he lives in Detroit. When I would go and speak in that area, I'd go visit him. And toward the end of his life, every once in a while, he'd talk about it. And so Uncle Tony one time told me a story about World War II that he experienced. Now, I don't know how to say this. Uncle Tony, when he spoke, the F word was every other word. No matter if he was talking about a water bottle, seven of those would have been in it. It's just the way he talked, okay? And I've known Uncle Tony since I was a kid, so just Uncle Tony. Now, I also do voices. I imitate people's voices, but I have to hear them in my head. So I hear voices, and I'm in therapy, but it's okay. And Michelle wants me to get cured, but I told her it's too much fun. Because when she doesn't like me, they do. And now, seriously, though, when I hear a voice, I actually can do it. And to Uncle Tony, you've never met him, but I want to tell you the story in his voice. Because this is how he sounded. And he was a piece of work. Now, I'm going to beep everything, a couple of beeps here and there, just to give you a context for the 76 words I'm not going to say in the story, okay? So here's what he told me. And he called everybody who was young honey. He said, "Honey, let me tell you something happened when I was in the war." He said, "We was under fire, mortar fire, and they're blowing up everywhere. And they sent us this lieutenant from West Point, green. He come with a book in his hand. And things blowing up, he comes in, he says, 'Sacco, you and Moon, go out there and put the lines back together. Communication lines got blown up by the mortars, because that's what they do.' And I said, 'You got to wait for the mortars to stop. They'll blow them up again.' He said, 'Go.' He says, 'You're in the army, you go.' Me and Moon were out there, mortars going off everywhere. A mortar goes off close to me, blows me on the ground. I turn around, I see Moon got his leg blown off. I went over to him, and things are blowing everywhere. I said, 'Moon, I'm going to get you out of here.' He said, 'Sacco, get out of here. You're going to die with me.' He said, 'Moon, we'll die together.' So I picked him up, and I carried him. Honey, his blood run down my back and filled my boots. And then I found that beep, 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 beep. Lieutenant. And I said, what? Take that book and put it places you shouldn't put books, in very graphic terms. And he said, I told you, you wait till the mortars are done. That book don't mean nothing out here. He said, Sacco, I'm sorry. He goes, sorry, don't get Moon his leg back, you. Beep, beep, beep. That's real life of people, the sacrifices they made. And I wonder, you know, Uncle Tony was, I'm sure, damaged him his whole life for the things he saw in World War II. Sacrifices that were made that were unimaginable. I want to transition an understanding of the sacrifices that men and women have made in our nation. But they did that for our freedom. They did it for their freedom, their posterity. But the sacrifice that Christ made was not for his freedom. He's God. He's already free, but was for yours and for mine. And I want to help you to see how Jesus processed living in a very troubled time in his own life. Jesus was all God, yet all man. And he dealt with this soulless troubling that we all feel, this overwhelming burden of living through life and difficulties. And at the end of his life, when he knew he was just hours away from going to the cross, he makes a statement that gives us such clarity and will help you. And this is my hope today, to help every one of us to pivot and live our lives in a way that reflects a Savior and not a world that is burning down around us, that is captured in a spirit of fear, but how to live a purposeful life in the middle of a difficult time. Listen to what Jesus said as he faced his darkest hour. In John 12:27, Jesus said this, as he's going to the cross, he said, now my soul is troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but it's for this purpose I came. I was born for this hour. Jesus said, my soul is troubled. Should I pray, God, take it away from me, this thing I'm about to have to go through? Or he said, no, I was born for this. That's what I want to talk to you about today. You were born for this. And I want to help you to see what Jesus taught us. His soul was so greatly troubled that he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested, he knelt down to pray. And the Bible said he was under such stress and pressure that the capillaries in his head mixed with the sweat and blood came out with the sweat. He said, I am so troubled that I am troubled even to the point where I feel like I'm going to die. Jesus knew what that felt like. But when he was at that moment of troubling, he stopped and he pivoted and he said, should I pray that I get delivered from this hour? No, I was born for this hour. The world in which we live today is on fire. Today, the hearts of men and women, whether they know God or don't, love God, hate God, ignore God, deny God, hearts and minds are troubled all over the world. Maybe greater than any time in my life that I've known. And just, I'm not going to belabor this, but just think of the things that are going on around us that are troubling our souls. And it's an appropriate thing to be troubled about. We're seeing today racial divisions that are being exacerbated, with no solution from any leadership in any way around the issues. And we're just seeing it exasperated and used to further divide people. And the very people that are suffering are a side thought for those who are in power, who want to keep power. And I'm not speaking of the leaders of any movements. I'm speaking about the generalities of how two kingdoms work. Jesus said there are only two kingdoms on the earth, not 17 kinds of people, but two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. And Jesus said, those who are of this world system born of hell, when they lead, they will exercise authority over those of which they have authority and will basically exploit them while all the while calling themselves your benefactor. I'm not saying every politician and every leader of any whatever and whatever is of that ilk, but I'm telling you, if they have not been born into the kingdom of God, they have no choice. And we live in a world today to where things are being exasperated. Political divisions like I've never seen before. There's no solution in sight because the solution takes away the power of the people causing the division. These are troubling times that we're living in. 40% of college and university graduates today embrace forms of socialism and communism as options of governance. Now, imagine this is a governing system that in the last 100 years, 143 million people have been murdered. It's troubling that people are willing and being trained in, and if you will, indoctrinated to say that there's some central human being that they could trust with that kind of power. No human being should be trusted with that kind of power. No one. And yet, it's troubling to see the most educated among us embracing a form of governance that 143 million people were murdered when the people in power eventually got their power. It's evil. And I want to help you to understand these are troubling times, and there's no reason for you not to feel troubled. Economic disparities that are unimaginable in our nation. And again, no solutions, just further division. Government corruption like I've never seen. Government spending that is unimaginable. You can't even make it up. It's like going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse 7 days in a row, every week, for 20 years. Well, let's go even better. Instead of going to Ruth's Chris, which is a great steakhouse, go to Napa Prime Chop House in Wexford. It makes Ruth's Chris feel like McDonald's. It ain't cheap. But let me tell you, you go there, you eat the steak, you see Jesus. This place will convert a vegan. It's like me going there every day, 40 years, and I give the tab to be paid by my great-great-grandchildren. Who would do that? Who, for their own pleasure and power, would saddle generations to come with their debt to solve their problems? What parent would do that? Parents don't do that. We go broke for our kids. These are troubling times. We are in such a sexually broken time in our nation, a nation so stained in sexual sin and brokenness, that it's gone to the place to where insanity reigns. You have these precious kids, God blessing them with a baby, and you say, "What did you have?" And they go, "We don't know." Did you look? We want the child to choose. You can't make up crazy like that. That's troubling. And I'm not minimizing issues that people deal with, gender issues. Those are real. And I'm not speaking disparagingly about anybody. I'm just telling you, these are troubled times. If that's not enough, let's just throw a little pandemic on top of it. So what do you do in troubled times as a Christian? If you're not careful, you'll do what Jesus was tempted to do, but did not do, as he said, "Just God, deliver me from this hour." And Christians today are having this choice to make. God, just make this go away for me. Make it better for me. Take care of my four and no more. And Jesus said, no. You were born for this hour. If you're a child of God, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, listen to me. God, the scripture said, knows the seasons and times and where places in which he will have people born. You were born for the hour that we live in right now in the kingdom. Not to cower in fear and to be taken by the kingdoms of this world and strapped down and pushed down, and your children just choked with the spirit of fear so they can be governed and controlled, not by people, but by another kingdom of which people are trapped by. But you are called of God, and you are born for this very hour. Every generation has its opportunity to answer its calling. And I'm persuaded that this generation emerging will be one of the greatest generations ever in the history of this nation. They won't be on the beachheads of Normandy. They won't be in the war theaters of Europe and over in the Philippines. And it wasn't World War II. It's not Vietnam. These beachheads are going to be the beachheads of taking people and rescuing people out of a culture that is so broken, yet celebrates its brokenness. And the people that come to rescue are actually deemed your enemy. You are born for this hour. You are born for this hour. Jesus said, "Should I pray to be delivered from it?" He said, "No, you were born for it." Listen to what Romans chapter 8 says. And I want to show you a key on how to live this out in your life. In the middle of your soul being troubled. If your soul's not troubled, you're asleep. or you're smoking something. A lot. You'll still be troubled. You just won't remember. Romans 8:35 says this. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Hardship or persecution, hunger or poverty, danger or even death? Can death separate us? As the scripture says, God, for your sakes, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. But no, in all of these things that he just mentioned, trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, even at peril of death. He said, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors and have complete victory through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Say that loud. More than conquerors. In the midst of troubled times, there is a way to walk with God when you don't live just as a conqueror, but you live as more than a conqueror. That you live in a victory that you didn't purchase. Let me illustrate it this way. I'm not much of a boxing fan anymore. I don't really watch much MMA. I think that's what, you know, but I do watch some of it. And when I watch it, I think that's crazy. I mean, boxing looks like it hurts. This looks like everything hurts. I just don't know how people do that. It's just torture to watch. And they, you know, you get knocked out. They give you, in boxing, they step away. And this, they get on top of you and put their elbow in your head. It's crazy. Now imagine somebody who is an MMA championship fight. And they're going to make $50 million if they win. But you win that, you still lose. I mean, they look like just somebody. Man, they win. They're now the champion. But they get taken to the hospital in an ambulance. And they have organs bruised and a concussion. And their nose is over by their ear. And their jaw's broken. And they lost 17 teeth. And they had like 6-month recovery. But they won $50 million. They're a conqueror. Then the guy's wife comes in the room. And says, man, honey, walking with her husband through it. And he says, the manager stopped by and he dropped me off this check for $50 million. And he hands it to his wife with his broken hand. And she is what you now call more than a conqueror. He took the beating. She cashed the check. That's called more than a conqueror. Jesus took my beating. I get to cash the check of no effort of my own, no blows to my life or my body. He bore it for me. He said this world system is designed to separate you from God's love for you and God's love through you for other people. You were born for this hour. This is no time for Christians to be seeking an escape hatch or an escape plan. This is a time when you should be rather getting a plan of attack on how are you going to labor and work together with your Heavenly Father to go rescue a world that's dying and broken. Jesus told us something in Luke 13. It's very important. He said, I want you to occupy until I return. Occupy until I return. That's a term of an army. When an army defeats the other army, they now occupy that territory where those people were under another sovereign's authority. And now the army occupies. Jesus said, the victory that I'm going to win, for you, I will place in you, and I want you to occupy, not hide, until I return. I want you to step in to the battle and to win the battle for human beings. I don't want you to hide. I don't want the spirit of this age, the spirit of fear, to be the governance of your life. Amen. God's word said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. A mind that isn't so troubled that you become trapped by fear. And for those of us in this space, it's one thing, but for our children in all these other spaces, they are being indoctrinated to live in fear at a level that is so unimaginable to me. And it's not a group of people doing it. It is a kingdom doing it through human beings that are trapped. Because once you're afraid of something and I convince you that I can make your fear be alleviated, that I can be your rescue. You'll give me anything if I make you afraid of enough. And it's wicked and it's evil. And your children don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. And I want to show you how. Because the fact of it is, we are called to be an occupying army. But the truth of it is, we are also a liberating army. We're not an army that goes in with weapons to fight those who have different viewpoints of us. We're an army that goes and liberates. And I think the best picture of a liberating army is in World War II when the American soldiers came upon Auschwitz. And they didn't even know what it was and they couldn't understand it. And inside the walls of Auschwitz were literally millions of people that, along with other of the concentration camps, who had been slaughtered and murdered for no other reason than their ethnicity. Starving to death and seeing death and suffering at a scale that no human mind could wrap your mind around. And I'm sure, like me, you have seen even the pictures and the videos of when the army arrived. But they liberated. They had guns that had once killed. Now they're walking into soldiers and they're liberating people that have been trapped. You are a liberating army. You were born for this hour. To go behind the walls of which people are trapped, behind the prison cells of which people are trapped, the same prison cells that I've been set free from. Because the people behind the walls of the prisons today are as trapped as those who were in Auschwitz spiritually. They are not your enemy, they are your mission field. You are a liberator to them. But if you don't know how to pivot in the way you see your life, if you don't know how to pivot and realize that you were born for this hour. And what does that mean? If you don't understand that you were called to not defeat this world with an argument or physicality, but to deliver the citizens of another kingdom out of that kingdom and the dominion of hell into the kingdom of God through the gospel and through telling them about a Savior and giving your life for their life because Jesus gave his life for you. When you learn to understand what the love of God is, instead of being separated from it, by all of this hardship, it will take you places you will never, ever go in your life. And you will live and die if you are separated from the love of God that is in Christ. You will live and die and never, never, never fulfill your purpose. Never live like you should have lived. You'll live a half life at best. But every army needs trainings. You must be trained. Armies that aren't trained are dangerous. You need to know how to, if you go into the army, they train you on weapons and they train you and they train you and they train you because if weapons are misused, people die. Sadly, in battle, many times people in the own army kill the other person through what they call friendly fire. A weapon has been misused or misjudged. And Christians today, I see such a fear when I watch this, is they're being separated from the love of God with friendly fire. They're using their weapons to fight battles that they're not called to fight. And the reality of it is this, that without training, my troubled soul is going to separate me from the love of God for people. I'm going to see people as for me or against me. Not in one kingdom or another. Born of God, who have been rescued out of darkness. And for every one of us who have been rescued by the precious life of Jesus. And somebody coming headlong into our broken world to tell us about a Savior. We are now called of God as a liberating army to run right back into those prison cells. And they are not my opposition and they are not my enemy. They are my mission field. And until you make that pivot, you will be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And you will live a half life. That's why over and over again, when you hear us say things and hear me say things, I'm not saying them because of bare repetition. But when I tell you again and again, this church exists so to help all people realize, all people, love God, hate God, all people realize that the God of all creation loves them unconditionally. That there's nothing they can do to separate them from the love that is in Christ for them. All they can choose to receive or reject him, that's on them. But most people don't reject God. They reject the picture that they've been seen or given of God, the distortion. That's why you'll hear us say over and over again, there are four values in the heart of God for you. We call them four things here that every Christian needs to have in their life. But there are four values that your Heavenly Father desperately desires for every one of our lives. He said he wants you to know him intimately. He wants you to find freedom from your past. He wants you to discover the hour for which you've been born and then go live in that hour by faith and make an impact with your life. That's why coming to church on a weekend is not some religious ticket that you punch. Oh, I came this weekend, God's happy. Oh, I missed a weekend, he's not. I better go twice. That's not what this is about. This is about you coming together in the presence of God, filling up with the Word of God, being with the people of God, the Spirit of God moving, and you being equipped to win the battle for which you were born. You were born for this hour, not to be cowered in fear, not to be wondering what you're going to do, not having your mind just raked over with every impossibility and listening to the news for 24 hours a day as you get exploited further by having people sell you peanut butter by making you even more afraid. They have no power to save you. Don't give them your heart and your mind. I don't care what news program it is. The Bible said we have a report that we're called to believe, and he said, who will believe it? I choose, you must choose to pivot, not for your own benefit first, but for the benefit of those for whom Jesus died, because I that have been rescued am called to go rescue. That's why coming to church on a weekend, getting your kids in these environments is critical. It's like going into battle without a weapon. That's why we tell you get in a small group, because in a small group, you're going to find freedom. You're going to meet people who will love you and accept you, God with skin, if you will, right in the broken parts of your life, no matter what is going on and what the small group's about. So I'll be helping you to say, we want you to help discover your purpose. Why have you been put on the earth? What is in you that God put in you that only you can do that no one else can? And then how to make an impact with it in your life, beyond your life, not only for the circle of your life. When those four values in the heart of God exist in my heart, and I give myself over to growing in God, not putting God third, fourth, and fifth in my life. Coming to church on a weekend is not just something some church made up. The scripture said, you put him first in your week and you gather together. You say, but I gather together online. Listen, I think online is fantastic if you can't gather together for medical reasons or distance. But it is not an option to just go sit in your basement or in your bedroom or on your phone and think you're going to get everything you can get when you're connected to the body, present and physically. You need to be present, and your kids need to be present. I'm not minimizing online. I love it. I think it's fantastic, but it's not enough. And I want to encourage every one of you to understand that you're called to live this way, and you're called to be equipped and trained and have these battles, weapons honed, so you can live for the hour in which you were born and live successfully within it. There are two training opportunities this month that I want to make sure everyone's aware of. On June 12th, the Man Up Conference will be here. And it's only for men. You said, well, that's sexist. Don't be stupid, and I don't care. I really don't. Yeah, but that's just sexist. Please, stupid, I don't want stupid. I don't want to live. I have enough stupid without borrowing yours. Okay, I've got to deal with my own crazy. Anybody got some crazy? Okay, I don't need yours. So here's the deal. And we're going to bring men. Men are coming together. Urban Impact Foundation, it's their meeting. We're hosting it here at Victory. Mike Tomlin will be here speaking. Cam Hayward's going to be here. Craig Wolfley. There's going to be a lot of different athletes here, speakers from around the country, ministries that are remarkable, world-touching ministries, pastors all over the region coming doing breakouts for men and your sons. Because if this world has ever needed men to be men of God, it's right now. If men have ever needed to know how to live in the hour spiritually in which they're called, it's now. Same for women. So when are we going to do one for women? One of those are coming too. Men can't go to that unless you serve. Then you can go. Why are you doing that? Because men and women are different. I don't believe they are. Again, I don't want your crazy. You keep it. I got my own crazy. I'm married to a woman. She's different. 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 30 years. I still don't understand the girl. A little bit more than I did, but not as much as I need to. She sure doesn't understand me. What are you thinking? Nothing. Well, you have to be thinking about something as a baby. No, I don't. We're able to sit there and just go, ooh, it's okay. The Man Up Conference, please, please. And then the Encounter Conference for junior, senior high students. We're bringing people in from all over the country, incredible, gifted people. Bubba Massey will be here, who's the director of student ministries of a Church of the Highlands, a church of 50,000 people. He's coming here to speak to your student. Will they be here? There's a fee to come. It's like camp, 23rd, 24th, 25th, except you're not spending the night here. They're getting fed. There's a fee for it. If you can't afford it, you need to let us know. Please don't let that be the reason your student doesn't come. Could I beg? I mean this with all my heart. I would get on my knees and I would beg you to have your student here, because they are not going to win this battle with a football or a basketball or a volleyball or gymnastics. Nothing wrong with those things. But please treat their spiritual training as much as you would football camp. Invest in their spirit. Let God speak to them, because hear my heart, please. The day is coming when they will no longer hear your voice. And if they can't hear his voice, they will follow the voice of a stranger. And your heart will break. And you can do something today to change that for your child's tomorrow. Please do it. We're kind of busy. Then you're kind of too busy. Get them here and do whatever it takes to get them here. Because God is going to do something great. You see, there's a declaration made in God's word over you, over me, over our kids. 1 John 5:4 says this. You see, every child of God, say it out loud, every child. It's for all of us. Every child of God overcomes and conquers the world and its ways. The victorious power that brings the world to its knees is your faith in God. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? It's simply those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not talking about some silly religious concept. Well, I believe, I don't mean that, just religious words. He's saying those who believe that they are in union with the God of the universe, who is the Son of God, who has birthed you into his kingdom, and you are now a son and daughter of the living God, and you can know God intimately. Because the Bible said when you know your God intimately, you will be strong and do exploits in the earth. If you or your child or those you love are not strong in the Lord and strong in him and know him intimately and do exploits in the earth, then you will be exploited in the earth. There are going to be only two options, because there are only two kingdoms. And don't let your rage and anger kid you and confuse you, because that's one way to trap you in the other kingdom. You are an overcomer and you are born for this hour. So let me be really practical as we close. How then do I actually overcome in this world? How do I conquer the world around me? I don't do it with physical weapons. I don't do it with these arguments. So what do? It's very, very simple. You are called to conquer this world by giving the free gift that was given to you, to them. It's really just that simple. And here's how you simply do it. You tell people your story of what God has done in your life. And that's obeying your calling, and it's that simple. Tell them what God has done for you. Yeah, but I'm still messed up. Yeah, that's the point. You don't have to pretend. You see, I still have things I'm dealing with in my life, but oh, I don't know how to explain to you what happens when he becomes the Lord of your life and he lives in you by his power. I don't know how to, I long for you to have this. Do it relationally. You don't have to be weird. Unless you're weird already, can't fix that. I'm not talking about being some religious zealot that walks around the office and go, repent, repent ye. I didn't say go crazy. Do you realize most Christians, please hear my heart, live and die. Listen to me. People that have been rescued out of that fire, rescued out of that prison, rescued out of the spiritual Auschwitz. The greatest percentage of Christians live and die and never one time tell anybody about the hope in their life, because they're too afraid and too timid. You were born for this. And when you step over that line and begin to live that life, not the pretend life, not some religious facade, but just be honest of your life and what God is doing in your life with all the cracks, warts, and messed up places, God will take what appears to be your futile words that will carry the gospel. And the gospel, the scripture said, is the power of God to salvation. Not you and not me, and not the skill in which you tell your story. He just needs you to tell it. You were born for this hour. You were born for this hour. The best example I see in the Bible is the Apostle Paul, who told his story in environments that were incredible. The Apostle Paul is brought before King Agrippa on his way to Rome. He's being tried by Rome. And he eventually is going to be beheaded and martyred for his faith. And as Paul is on his way journeying via ship, Agrippa is visiting another king or another ruler, Festus. And he finds out that Paul is there. And he said, hey, tomorrow, let's gather an assembly. I want to hear his story. And he's nothing more than a spectacle. And Paul is brought before this great assembly. And there's Agrippa, like Paul's like a play toy. Okay, let him talk now. Let me have my little amusement. For most of us, I think our thought would be, well, my life's on the line. I want to try to win his approval. You want to know what Paul did? He did this. He stood up and he raised his hand, which basically said, everybody, shut up! Because it's a huge crowd. They're talking. Shut up, everybody! Stop! And then he pointed to King Agrippa and he said, and he literally pointed to Agrippa. And he said, King Agrippa, I want to speak to you today. This is a prisoner talking to a king. And he told him his story. He said, Agrippa, there was a time when I hated Christians. I am a Roman citizen, Agrippa. And he was loved by Rome because all citizens were. And I was a leader among the Jewish people, a member of the Sanhedrin, the 70-member council that ruled my nation. And I persecuted these Christians. I murdered them and slaughtered them and imprisoned them. I was there at the first death of a Christian, Stephen, who was murdered, and I held the coats of those who stoned him to death, and I gave consent to his death. That's who I was, Agrippa. He said, but then something happened to me. He just told his story. He said, I was on my way to Damascus, and I had in my hand letters from the chief priest and the authority to go arrest people that called on the name of Jesus. He said, but while I was on that way, a light appeared to me from heaven. He said, and I fell to the ground. And a voice spoke to me and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Get up on your feet. And he's blinded. He can't see because of that light. And he stands up and he tells Agrippa exactly what God said to his life. And I want you to hear what he told Agrippa. This is the actual written record by Luke of his testimony that day when he was preaching to Agrippa. He knew the hour for which he was born. He wasn't there covering his tail and saving his own life. He wanted to get everybody in that place the opportunity to come to know Christ. Listen to what he said in Luke in Acts 26:17. And he said, and God said to me, Agrippa, that I will deliver you, Paul, from the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles, to whom I will now send you. And I will enable you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. He's talking to the king. To turn you from the power of Satan, that you might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So King Agrippa, listen now. I want you to get this. There's an arena of people. And he said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's why I'm on trial. Agrippa finally said to him, Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. It tells you that he was there to do a mission. He knew his hour. You know what Paul's answer was to the king? He said, not just you, but everyone who hears my voice. I wish that they knew God like me, except for this imprisonment, that they would be exactly like me. He knew his hour. Do you know you were born for this hour? There is a key in these words that Jesus told Paul, that if you will grasp them, will empower you to live this life. He said, Paul, I am now delivering you from the people I'm sending you to. He was loved by the Romans and loved by the Jews. He said, I am going to now deliver you from them so I can send you to them. And the love of God that was in Christ Jesus for Paul was going to be sorely tested because the Jews hated him and sought to murder him. The Romans ended up murdering him. If anyone had a reason to be in opposition to the Jews and to the Gentiles, it was Paul. He was hated by both groups. But he said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so God said, I have to deliver you from the people, the Jews and the Gentiles, the Romans and the Jews. I've got to deliver you from their lives and all of their behaviors toward you so that I can send you to them. And that's what God is wanting to do in the heart of every believer today. Because there is a move of the Holy Spirit afoot in this earth. It's happening right now. And there will be people that will live and die and never taste it. Never taste it. never taste it because they don't understand what it means to be able to be used of God to liberate people with the simple message of the gospel. And they are not, so many Christians today are not delivered from the people that they're called to serve and to love. So many Christians see people as their enemy, politically and otherwise. They're not. They're your mission field. And my prayer is that God delivers you from the people of whom he will now send you to reach. That you will love them like God loves them. You will sacrifice for them like God sacrificed for them. And that you will realize the prison cell that you run headlong into is the very prison cell that he took you out of. And of no goodness of your own.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.